show you don't want to miss.
The Big E Sports Show
with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Stay tuned as Elissa goes up close and personal with some of the biggest names in the world of sports. From Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame quarterback Roger Staubach to legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall. Think big.
Think big.
It's all happening right here on the Big E Sports Show.
Here we go. Once again, it is time for our Beyond the X's and O's segment. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell, and today we're going to go beyond the sideline to the goal line with one of the all-time greats of the Dallas Cowboys, Captain Crash himself, Cliff Harris. Cliff, it's great to be alongside you.
Thank you. It's great to be here today with you.
Well, we are looking forward to reliving so many memories from your prolific career in the NFL and with the Dallas Cowboys, but the month of June is just around the corner, and that means it is time to tee it up for the Cliff Harris JDRF Reunion Golf Classic. What can we anticipate in 2012?
Well, it's going to be a great tournament. This is going to be the biggest year we've had thus far. We played a great course in North Dallas at Glen Eagles. It's a PGA qualifying course. We've got a lot of my buddies coming out over the years. We've had, you know, I mean, Roger comes out and Leroy Jordan and Walt Garrison and Mike Modano and Charlie Waters and lots of names that people would know. It benefits Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. My dad was a type 1 diabetic. I'm on the board of the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation here in Dallas, and it's a great tournament, well run. Big sponsors are Coca-Cola and Oakley, and so we do a really, really good job. Everybody has a great time.
And Cliff, I was going to ask you, what was the inspiration behind the tournament? Because finding a cure for diabetes, that's something very personal to you, and this is a tournament that's been around for a long time. In fact, it's been going strong since 1991.
Right, and well, I mean, you know, I have a passion for, I really feel like that we can beat diabetes. It's kind of a two-prong attack, one through the physical side, and all the research is being done that relates to insulin and leptin and other hormones and physical components that will allow you to beat or diabetes through stem cell research as well. Plus, there's the mechanical side, if you will, and that's the artificial pancreas that they're doing amazing research on these days. And micro technology, just amazing what they can do with the controlling of the insulin and sugar levels in the body. And that's what it's all about. And my dad, I saw my dad give himself shots every morning. I saw him go into insulin shock. I saw a lot of, he lost his vision. Didn't see me play in my career in any of my Super Bowls. So, you know, I have a real passion for this, and I really want to beat this disease if we can. And that's where this money is going. Very high percentage of the proceeds in JDRF go to research, directly to research, and not G&A.
You know, and Cliff, throughout the years when I have interviewed you on my radio show, that's one thing that is very close to your heart, is being committed to doing the right thing and giving back. I mean, football has been an awesome platform for you, but you really do want to give back to the community here in Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's amazing how long that, you know, that I've been around and that people still remember those great days that we had during that time. But, you know, that goes away in time, and the things that you do for your community and the things you can do. I mean, I certainly want to. I also help with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and a big supporter of a tournament that I have back in my hometown of Hot Springs, Arkansas. And, you know, those are kind of things that'll last forever, you know, where your name doesn't.
Well, I think what's neat, you were rattling off a list of all the celebrities that are going to be there, former Dallas Cowboy greats, Roger Staubach, Charlie Waters, yourself, Chad Hennings is going to be there.
Chad Hennings.
But, you know, with me loving the game of basketball, I think it's pretty darn cool that Spud Webb is going to be teeing it up as well, the 1986 NBA Slam Dunk Champion.
Yeah, well, we hoped that Spud comes this year. He's been in the tournament on and off over the years, and Ira Terrell just got the big SMU award. We're going to have him this year, and You know, we've got our bowlers and baseball, and so there's a lot of. It's going to be a lot of. It's always everybody says a lot of fun, but it's well run. You know, Oakley's our big sponsor, giving out Oakley sunglasses to all the players. So it's a really a neat deal.
And I think as a former athlete, that's got to be really cool for you this time of year to have the opportunity to catch up with so many of your former teammates and relive those stories and reminisce and talk about the good old days and playing for head coach Tom Landry.
Well, that's why we call it the reunion classic, because definitely the guys are there that are their classics, because they've been around for a long time. It is a reunion that we, you know, we get back together, and they were going to do an interview sessions during the before the tournament, talk about the good old days and, you know, today's present time Cowboys as well. And it's always fun to get back with them, and because they're like your college friends. It's just a different era of time and of your life. It was a great era that we had with a wonderful bunch of guys during that Tom Landry era of the Cowboys.
You know, and once an athlete, always an athlete. It's great to go out there, and when they're teeing it up, hey, they're competitive too, aren't they?
Oh yeah, they're competitive guys, and it's always fun. You know, it hurts more today, you know, than it did years ago, but it's always fun, and you know, they have a good time with the people that are out there, because, you know, they've learned a long time, the players from my era after you've out for a number of years, that, you know, you're really friends with the people, and it's like, you know, a reunion, really, of the people that watched us play, as well as the players there as well, because we're all kind of went through that time together, players and fans and coaches and, you know, and the media and everyone. We all went through a special era together. It's always fun with everybody to get back and talk about it.
Well, Cliff, it really was a special time being part of a dynasty, I mean, in your 10-year career. But before we even talk about that, I want to talk about those early days growing up in Hot Springs, Arkansas. What is interesting is, I mean, you really are a testament to perseverance and fortitude and not listening to your junior high coaches, because they really tried to discourage you and they wanted to redirect your efforts to, you know, perhaps, Cliff, you need to work on your studies and not continue with the game that you loved. And that was the game of football.
You know, I was a skinny kid, and I understand probably the coach's mentality. You know, they some. I was a late bloomer, and kids that in the ninth grade that, you know, that are probably the same size today, probably a little heavier, that they were in the ninth grade. That's the guys that they picked to play that would play, because they, you know, they matured early. Well, I didn't, you know, and I was one of those guys that had a passion, but didn't probably have a lot of ability. And they said, you know, hey, you need to go back and focus on your studies.
Cliff,
and quit football.
What kept you motivated? What kept you going? And that was that driving force behind you to continue a belief that, you know what, I am going to play the game of football and I am going to be successful at it.
I don't know. I think it's one of the good things and the bad things about me that I'm kind of stubborn, I think, and I want to. I don't want to quit on things, and I kept pounding and kept pounding, and I think that's the way you do in life. If you believe in something, you believe you can do it, you just stay at it and push and push and pound it just a little bit at a time, and it'll gradually, the wall will break down. And, you know, I was fortunate. God bless me during that time. Strange circumstances allowed me to play football. I mean, I moved from Hot Springs, Arkansas, to a little town in eastern Arkansas called Desark, Arkansas. I was a quarterback. I quarterbacked an undefeated team that year, which kicked off my football career. Who knows? I was in school at Hot Springs with a friend of mine. He and I were going to be doctors. He's a doctor today, and I went the other direction, became a football player, and now I'm in the energy business, so I see him when I go back up there.
Well, Cliff, I have to wonder, though, I mean, your father was a tremendous role model to you, and your dad played collegiate football at Ouachita Baptist University.
Right.
Was that a point of inspiration for you that you wanted to follow in your daddy's footsteps?
Well, it was, I mean, my dad was, I spoke to several of his former teammates, and they told me about how tough a player was. He was a great guy, and it was an inspiration to me for sure. It was more of an inspiration of the diabetes side of things, because he fought hard, that's what inspired me more than anything else. He never, even though he lost his vision to diabetes, he never was bitter, and a tough-minded guy, and that's what drove me to be tough-minded too. And that's what it takes, I think. You know, particularly in pro football or anything else, is fortitude. And my dad was my inspiration for that. And I got the speed from my mom, so she was a really good athlete as well. But Ouachita is where he went to school. Just by chance, his roommate owned a sporting goods store where my college coach drank coffee every morning, and they said, you know, Buddy Harris had a son that played football, and we should give him a scholarship, and they said, okay. So that's the way my football career started.
Well, was that kind of tough? Because you were overlooked by, I mean, you had love and passion for the University of Arkansas, but Texas didn't come after you, or Oklahoma. The big name schools didn't come after you, but you went ahead and went to Ouachita Baptist.
Yeah, I spoke to the University of Arkansas, and they offered me a tryout, but Ouachita offered me a full scholarship, a four-year full scholarship. And you know, I still love the Razorbacks. My brother played for them. My younger brother Tommy played for them, and I just went to I got to play in a golf tournament last week in Arkansas, where I got to go to a tournament where all my heroes as kids were there. Lance Alvers was there. I had a chance to, instead of people saying to me, hey, I was a kid when you were playing, I got to say to them, hey, I was a kid when you were playing, you were my hero. So
you wanted to wear his jersey number 23, correct?
Right, exactly. And that's good. You got a good memory, Alyssa. But I had a chance to see all those guys, and it was really Billy Moore was the quarterback, and it was really fun to go back home.
We're going to step aside for a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with much more of our exclusive conversation with Dallas Cowboy great Cliff Harris. Did you know that Complete Production Services is one of North America's leading oilfield service providers, offering field support solutions, equipment, and well production optimization and enhancement to some of the largest oil and gas companies? Complete Production is fully committed to developing solutions for your operating environment and can handle any oilfield demands, well servicing and rentals. Most importantly, they are committed to superior customer service and also focus on safety and the environment. Service, expertise, innovation. Complete Production Services. Join us online at CompletePproductionServices.com. Around here, a person is honor bound by their word. And the way to earn a person's trust is through action. Action that reflects character, honesty, principle, and a commitment to community. We're Pinnacle Bank, and we're dedicated to serving unique banking needs and working hard to deposit back into our communities. Not because we have to, but because it's the right thing to do. Upright and loyal, that's the Texas way. And at Pinnacle Bank, we think that's the way banking should be. Visit us online at PINNBANKTX.com. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Looking to be a part of a dynamic company that provides exceptional service in the oil and gas industry? Then consider IPS. Integrated Production Services is a leading provider of production enhancement services for oil and gas producers. At IPS, we are currently seeking energetic and team-oriented individuals with a successful track record in the oil and gas field. Here at IPS, we are committed to building a better tomorrow and for future generations through our reputation of hiring the best professionals and industry leaders to serve our clients.
clients better. IPS is offering entry-level positions, plus also seeking knowledgeable professionals with experience in logging and perforating, coil tubing and frac stimulation. Consider IPS for your future today. Send your resume to IPS, 2269 North Mash Branch Road, Suite Number 1, Denton, Texas, 76207, or give them a call at 940-484-4481. That's 940-484-4481. Or check us out online at ipsadvantage.com.
So, Cliff, you have a very successful college career. You're obviously on the radar. The buzz is out about Cliff Harris. When did you realize that you could take your game to the next level?
Well, I think that's something that goes on today with kids in college, and I think it's to their detriment, really, to be honest with you, because I think that falsely they're under an impression that they can play pro football, and I think it's promoted by the coaches to get them to play better and focus less on their studies. And my sophomore year is when Pro Scout started trickling in and timing me in the 40 and watching me. And I was, you know, it was not like, I mean, Wichita Baptist is not like one of the major stops, you know, in Arkadelphia, Arkansas for the pro, you know, the pro circuit. but it gives you the thought that you might can do that. And when you go to a larger school, it's even more, there's more intensity there because there are, and the coaches tell you, well, you know, good gosh, out of the whole state of Arkansas, three guys or five guys got a chance to try out my year. There was, you know, 500 players and five guys got a chance to try out. So it's unrealistic for these young players to believe that. And so I think that they need to really, and that's what I told my boys that played college football, focus on your studies. And if football comes, pro football comes, you maximize it, but don't count on it because the chances are so slim. Everything, all the ingredients have to line up exactly right and every time. And the position, the coach, the whatever the scheme, you have to be perfect for it and you have to be healthy. So your chances are very, very slim to make it. So it worked for me, you know?
It did. And, you know, what's interesting is your senior year, the director of player personnel, Gil Brandt of the Dallas Cowboys, he had assured you that you would be drafted within the first six rounds. And that phone, you sat by the phone, you waited, and the phone never rang, did it, Cliff?
You read my book.
I think I did.
Yeah, Gil Brandt, who's a great friend, and I owe a lot to today, because he developed a system that allowed scouts to go to these small schools and really find the players that stood out. And I was one of those guys at Wichita that stood out. And but he told me, and I think that he probably was trying to make that happen, but and thought he might make it happen, but he told me they were going to draft me in the first six rounds for the Cowboys. And And I stayed by the phone, obviously, waiting for my phone call. I never got it. But they did call at 12 o'clock the next night, as soon as the draft ended, and said, well, we want to come sign you as a free agent. I was really upset and said, you know, I don't want that to happen. And because I had some other teams that were interested, but I ended up signing with them. I like their shiny pants, one of the reasons. But I wanted to, and I thought there was a good opportunity there. It was close.
But you really had to give credit to your college coach, Buddy Bob Benson, because, you know, isn't it amazing how God provides that reinforcement? Because he kind of had to encourage you along and say, you know what, you need to reconsider their offer and to take that.
That's right, exactly. Yeah, he did. Because he was my mentor, and I would look to him for advice as it relates to football. And he told me that I should sign with the Cowboys, and you know, so I took my $500 bonus
you spent $100 on a stereo, right?
Yeah, that's right. I took my $500 bonus and headed to California, Thousand Oaks.
So tell us, what was it like, Cliff Harris, when you did arrive at training camp? Because you had a lot of competition. There was 120 rookies in camp,
right?
And you know, every day you had to bring it.
Well, the timing of that, and was really interesting timing, because the at that time the NFL was striking, the Players Association was striking for, of all things, free agency, what allowed players today to make the salaries that they make today was for the players back then that sat out and said, you know, we're not going to go in and play. We're going to, you know, hold out for the players of today to get their money. So the foundation was laid right there for the higher salaries for later that were paid to these players today. There were 120 rookies there because they wanted more rookies in training camp, because they wanted long lines for practice to hone in on the ones that the players that could actually make that team. It gave the rookies that were there a better chance to be viewed. We had 6 rookie games, which didn't happen today. I mean, today they take, you know, 15 to 20 rookies because of the media today, and the availability of technology allows you to see a player, you know, many times just by through the internet. But at that time, that was not available. So I went there with 120 other rookies. There were probably 25 defensive backs. And, you know, I was like, you know, hey, I was from Washington. I didn't know how big they'd be. But I knew that when I got there, I can compete with these guys.
Well, and it really was, Cliff. It was survival of the fittest. And I think what's interesting, I mean, you've had so many accolades and accomplishments throughout your prolific career. You know, the Ring of Honor in 2004, we had an opportunity to look at that, being inducted into the Arkansas Hall of Fame. But truly one of your greatest highlights in your career, for you personally, it is when you were named the starting free safety as a rookie, correct?
Yeah, I was. I think the thing that you try to do, I mean, if you think about 120 rookies and then you have 45 veterans that are coming back, so the team is made up of 45 players. So that means they have to cut 120 people, and the 120s either have to come from the veterans or the rookies. And heck, I mean, I was fighting. We fought for a long, long time and long training camp. And the day came to Tom was going to Coach Landry, excuse me, Coach Landry, was going to name the starting lineup, and he announced me, the only rookie to make the starting lineup on offense or defense, and announced me as a starting free safety for the Cowboys. And I was like, whoa, man, I made the team. I made the starting lineup, but it meant I made the team, which was my goal, you know. And my goal was, you know, to try to make the starting lineup. But I was real happy just to make the team.
I'm curious, though, what was it like to, in the preseason, your preseason game was against the San Diego Chargers, but that first regular season game was against the Giants?
The first game was in San Diego. And, I mean, you know, I'd never been to a pro football game before, and I was playing corner at the time. I came in as a corner, and they moved me to safety, which brilliance of Coach Landry, thank goodness, because they moved Mel back to corner, and Mel Renfro, Hall of Fame, a guy that was out there with me. But going into San Diego Stadium and playing in my first pro football game, and I was playing at corner with all these stars, it was quite a thrill. And then we ended up playing the Giants. The first home game was against the Giants, and actually in the Cotton Bowl, before we went to the Texas Stadium, which was another, I wanted to go over and shake all the, you know, guys' hands over there for the Giants, because they were, you know, I watched them as a kid, and the same thing was true. I made the starting lineup, and I remember pulling into the lineup in the Cowboy lineup and going, looking at all these stars up there, I said, you know, maybe I should get some autographs before I get cut here. Bob Lilly and Leroy Jordan, I mean, two cornerstones of the Dallas Cowboys, and, you know, George Andre and Larry Cole, Mel Renfro, Cornell Green, the, you know, incredible defensive back, and just an all-pro, should be in the Ring of Honor without any question. And here I was as a rookie from Wichita Baptist, you know, and Bob Lilly said to me, hey, we're going to the Super Bowl this year, rookie, and I don't want you to do anything that's going to mess it up. Do you understand? I said, yes, sir, Mr. Lilly, I understand. I won't. So we ended up going to the Super Bowl that year.
Well, I would anticipate that there had to have been some trepidation on your part. How did you not allow anxiety to overwhelm you? And you had that mental edge.
Well, I just think that the thing about it is, I think it's like an actor on a stage. No matter how many people are in the stadium, the stage is the stage. And and the same thing is true with the football field, because we're actors and, you know, performers. And I didn't really look around at, you know, the stadium. There were people there and get freaked out about it. I wanted to perform at the high level and really listen to Bob Lilly, a great leader that he was, and Leroy and those guys, about their goal and the intensity and the purpose and the focus that they had. And about today's Cowboys too, we can talk about that whenever you would like, but there was a passion there, a deep-rooted passion that that I was on that wave and carried along with them, that allowed me to perform at high levels because of them, you know, because I could feel that they wanted very badly to accomplish that, and I wanted to be a part of it, and I was a teammate, so I didn't want to let them down.
Cliff, I do have to take this opportunity to ask you a little bit about what was it like to play for a legendary coach in Tom Landry, because his coaching style was completely different than Coach Benson at Wichita Baptist.
Well, yeah, it was. When you're a player, the reflection on how great Tom Landry really was came after I played, not during that time that I played, but after I played, because, you know, when you look back on your career and you play 10 years and you go to 5 Super Bowls, you can't say, man, I did a good job. You have to think, Coach Landry was amazing. He was a genius, and a genius in so many at so many levels. First, he was a man of character. He surrounded himself with coaches that had character. He surrounded himself with players that had character. He was brilliant on the strategic side of things, but he also built an organization that was a quality organization. And people forget you're 20 years old when you're playing pro football. I was a 20-year-old kid, you know, and then you look back after you look back on your career and say, oh my gosh, I played, you know, in 5 Super Bowls and was surrounded by all these great guys that ended up, you know, look at the guys that Coach Landry surrounded himself with that were head coaches later. I mean, Dan Reeves, yeah. Mike Ditka, Jim Myers, Ernie Stotner, my great coach, Gene Stallings. I mean, one of my best friends and my mentor today, Gene Stallings. I mean, those were guys that were, I mean, have stepped up into the ranks of life and continued a legacy of Coach Landry's and become men of character, you know, men of God. I mean, so I'm, when you're 20 and you're wild, you don't think that way. You look back and reflect on it.
Of course, Tom Landry, faith, family, football, that's what right. He lived by. But also, he was way ahead of his time as far as his approach with the game and all the different things that they had you guys doing in those training camps, correct?
Right. I mean, he was a real innovator. I mean, things today that, I mean, were as simple as that we wouldn't have, you wouldn't have thought of. I mean, of computerized printouts that had 6 games of the previous play. And I went through very faithfully every week, and I knew exactly what they were going to do when it was where they were in field position, and it was something we studied, and we were very, very prepared. You know, Tom Landry, we had a Tai Chi coach come in that taught us, and I still have taught my boys how to use these movements today, and they use them in football. They're and
amazing. Because two of your boys played at the collegiate level, correct?
Yeah, 2 boys played at the collegiate level. One played at the University of Richmond, my older son, and the other played at the University of Arkansas, and who's now coaching at Texas Tech. Matt Harris and Andrew Harris was played at Richmond. But they had, we had a track coach. I mean, everybody had weight coaches, but they had a weight coach and a track coach that taught us how to run, and Tai Chi coach, and had a sensory deprivation tank. That's another story. He was a real innovator, and it was brilliance that allowed us to achieve, and his way he motivated us through subtle psychology. Coach Landry was just amazing.